Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Positively Trek. My name is Barry, here, as always, with the illustrious Dan Gunther. How are you doing today, Dan?
Not too bad. Excited to talk Trek with you again.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a minute for me to be on the show, but it's good that we're getting a pretty steady conveyance. It's nice to hear some familiar voices and all that sort of stuff. So pretty cool to see you just getting more Trek discussion out there. I think is always the best part of it. But
Trek books and comics. We got to get more of those on the go.
Yeah, I would be sitting at my computer all day if I was to catch up with all of the Trek talk. But I have to say, comic books and novels is the way to go, and you can never really get enough of those, can you?
Absolutely. At least not until Strange New Worlds comes back. And
yeah,
still waiting for them to tell us when.
Yeah, I don't know about that. There's and then, yeah, I mean, we are kind of hitting that little gap phase that we were all kind of awaiting, I guess you could say.
Well, the good news is, now that I've said that, they will issue a release date between our recording and when this episode goes out, so we can look the fool. So.
Yes, and as per usual.
Hey, everyone, this is Dan from the future editing this episode, and boy, did we sure call that one. July 17th, Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 3 is coming back to Paramount Plus. And now, on with the show.
So, yeah, we are actually, this is a bit of a, we're going slightly outside of the world of Star Trek, but we're actually getting probably as close to home as you and I can ever really get, Dan. You and I met at a Star Trek convention in Las Vegas a number of years back and had to reverse engineer all the way back to finding out we lived in the same town. Well, heading further north of us, on June the 7th, in a lovely little town called Grimshaw, Alberta, we are going to be attending the Mile Zero Fan Summit, which is going to be happening in the nondescript town of Grimshaw. I've actually been there a few times, and you guys have a fantastic sports complex, I have to say, and a very, very good A&W. So yeah, I'm here to welcome Carolyn and Chance Girk to our show today. So yeah, I'm really excited to get this conversation up and running. So maybe just to start, I'll just give Chance and Carolyn a chance to introduce themselves.
Sure. Well, thank you for having us. It's really nice chatting with you. My name is Carolyn Girk. I am a longtime resident of Grimshaw. I am a board member on the Grimshaw Municipal Library. I am an artist by trade. Many nerd things combine in all of those different little hats that I wear. This guy over here was the brains behind the operation, and I'm just helping.
I'm Chance. I've also lived in Grimshaw just about my entire life. Currently the president of the Chamber of Commerce for Grimshaw. I sit on pond hockey board. I run a liquor store in town. Like, it's Grimshaw is home, and we're trying to make it as good as it can be. Carolyn attended a Comic-Con up in High Level just before COVID. It was called,
AuroraCon. Yeah.
Yeah. And she said it was just a blast. She was up there selling her art and that. And then COVID hit and they were due to, it was like a month after lockdown was supposed to be their second or third one. And it never happened. And 5 years later, I'm sitting on the couch going, it would be really neat to have one of those in Grimshaw. The High Level one, it doesn't seem to be coming back. So let's go to it. And I talked to a couple of people on our local performing arts board and the librarian and a few other people. And everybody said, yeah, that sounds like a fantastic idea. So we've basically since October, it's taken up a bunch of our free time just trying to get it up and running.
It must be a very a complicated process getting just like the venue. And I'm sure there are a lot of moving parts that I wouldn't mind kind of getting into a little bit more about that. How does one start a comic book or fan expo convention thing?
It definitely started with just putting the feelers out there with a few people that we knew that could kind of get the word out and say, who wants to meet and talk about this? And that helped us sort of like collect little pockets of fans and nerds and whomever was interested in attending Comic-Cons, who has attended Comic-Cons, who wants to talk about whatever they're interested in. So we all got in a room together and then just kind of felt out, do we have the willpower to push through just sitting there and talking about the things that we're into to do something about it? And I think it doesn't hurt that Chance is the president of the chamber. So he's got a lot of connections. He knows who to call about, you know, if we need to rent this or we need to rent that, we know who we can get in touch with. And Grimshaw is a pretty small town. So it's like being on different volunteer boards, it was pretty easy for us to find people that we knew that could help make this kind of stuff happen. But it's definitely, it has been a lot of work for sure. Yeah.
I am active in a lot of the events that go on in town. So like booking the multiplex wasn't a big deal. Talking to people for sponsorship was a pain, but it needed done. So we went around door to door and we did it. And yeah, it's a lot of little pieces, but we did thankfully have a good amount of time to get stuff in place. I don't think we're going to raise a ton of money for the library unless our foot traffic through the door is great. But for year one, I think we're pretty happy, especially with all the people kind of like yourself that are coming to give everybody value for their entry price. We've got, it's almost impossible just wrangling all the vendors and the people doing presentations and panels and gaming demos and that. It's becoming a full-time job.
I imagine it's a bit of a trade-off because you were talking about kind of the smaller community, knowing a lot of people and kind of coming together like that. Whereas that kind of gets offset with, because it is a smaller community, I imagine it's a little harder to kind of get a lot of the kind of things that you like the access to things that you would have in a larger center. Just speaking for myself, I grew up in Grovedale, Alberta, went to school in Grand Prairie, and that felt enough like just such a small community. I'm wondering what the nerd community is like in Grimshaw and how much fun it is to connect with people in a smaller center like that.
Our library is extremely active for nerd culture. Like they've done
nice
multiple years of like Star Wars Reads Day and Star Wars Day. A couple of years ago, they did a 24-hour gaming tournament. They had Star Trek Day or First Contact Day here in
they've
April.
Done First Contact Day for quite a few years now.
They do active like free movie nights. We did a sponsored one of our local cosplay enthusiasts taught everybody how to make a knight's helm while everybody watched Shrek. Like we've got a very pretty good community. It's just, we're really hoping that we'll be the networking point for everybody to move forward, because we had to reach out to get some Warhammer guys, even though our local, I don't even know what you'd call it, the store. Like, it's not a hardware store. It's like a catch-all. They sell yarn, they sell plumbing supplies, they sell beer,
Warhammer cards, they sell Magic the Gathering cards, they sell like all
party
kinds of gaming
supplies.
stuff. Yeah.
A traditional general store.
Yeah, an
Yeah,
emporium almost.
exactly.
Yeah.
What's been really interesting is figuring out that there are a lot of people that have all these niche interests that we didn't even know were here. Like you say that you found each other in Vegas
Yeah.
and then came back and realized like you were in the same place, right? We're finding now that there's people all over the place that are probably making connections with people online, and you know they're not going out into their communities and saying like, "Hey, is anyone else into this?" And then they're seeing the posts and they're seeing the programming that the library is putting on, and they're kind of coming out of the woodwork and being like, "Yeah, me too," right? And ultimately, like we are trying to do this event for the community and also as a fundraiser for the library because they do so much for this specific niche community too. This is like my library hat is on all the time.
Yeah. Well, call me biased, but I'm also a massive fan of libraries and
Yeah.
do see a strong library as a sign of a strong community as well. So definitely no argument there. But what I'm kind of gathering from this is sort of like a field of dreams style, if you build it, he will come kind of feel to this, that the more you talk about it, the more it happens. And you know, yeah, we've been to bigger events, I'm sure all of us. Calgary Expo is really great. Edmonton has a good one. Obviously, Las Vegas is a place to go for that. But I think maybe, you know, you think about folks like ourselves who have to travel a long ways anyways to get to these places. A trip to from where we are in Grand Prairie to Grimshaw really isn't much, but I would challenge some people to say, you know, like if you live within a, you know, a certain threshold. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that our listeners in Pennsylvania should be getting their flight tickets, but hey, Grimshaw is nice. You will like it. It's cool. Nice little value drive through if you go the Peace River route. Anyways, you know, I do think that the distance we have to travel is only daunting in our heads. We drive a long ways to go to Costco. So what's the issue if we go to something like this, I think is maybe the feel for that. So I'm glad you're getting that level of interest the more you say stuff. And you know, I mean, would you say that like the rural convention will kind of have a bit more of that kind of hometown feel to it? Are you guys looking to kind of sort of, you know, build it every year, but is there a threshold that you'd want to kind of keep it at? Would you want to expand further, or is this something that you guys are just kind of taking year by year?
I think we're going to have to take it year by year, but I, as the like forever devil's advocate and skeptic, when we were all in a room being very excited about the things we wanted to do, I started to go, "Holy smokes, you guys, tone it down a little. This is the first year. What are you doing?" But now we're taking over the whole multiplex.
There you
So,
go.
like, we're using the entire multiplex. We're using the adjoining library and their extra shared spaces because we have a building. There are multiplexes connected to our library and both of our schools. So we have a lot of public spaces and we're taking over all of them. So the
Nice.
only other thing I can think of in terms of expansion would be to go outside.
I mean, we could take over the ice surface of that
Yes,
too,
we could.
and we could expand it to like 2 full days. We're currently set up where we're doing like a free, we're calling it a nerd mingler. Just basically come and hang out on the Friday night and just find out all the other nerds in the area that are really into.
Meet some people, talk about what's happening the next day, play some
Yeah.
games, you know, that kind of thing.
It, it, we kind of did it as a way to, for some of our volunteers in that to let their fandom fly, sort of deal. But like, if things go well, we'd definitely love to expand like our vendor market. We would like to have maybe a few more like professional panels come in. We basically 2 meetings ago, we told everybody on the board that if we can't find somebody to speak at our panel, you guys are in charge of speaking. Just so the there's something to be said. So everybody had to find their niche topic of what they had to talk about. We'd love to like slowly build it. I don't want to jump to a 3-day celebrity signings and all that unless there's a demand for it. So we're just
Well,
happy to have,
and the money.
yeah,
Yeah.
everybody in the same room just having good vibes.
What I think will be nice about the small town aspect of it is, you know, we're going to have being right in the schools. We hopefully are going to have people from, you know, we're going to have students who are comfortable in that area hanging out here and experiencing something that they maybe have not yet been able to do. Like they maybe have not gone to Calgary Expo. They probably haven't gone to Vegas. They haven't done these things. So it's still going to have that kind of like, almost like a jumping off point, you know, like it's like your, it's like your starter con kind of, and we can, or for people who just have never been to anything. I've had a lot of people ask me when I'm out at markets and stuff, that's where I sell a lot of my work, have asked me, what is this? And like, they've never heard of a Comic-Con before. So this is kind of like a starting point for people who've never been there, where everyone else who's already into that world can kind of like pull other people in, and it hopefully will have a good community vibe where you're like, oh, hey, I didn't realize that my neighbor runs Magic the Gathering games or whatever, you know, stuff like that. So I hope we can always keep that balance of like, yes, let's grow, let's make it work, let's raise money, let's make it a thing. But it's, we want it to feel like it's rural, you know, it's different. It's a community. It's for those of us who are kind of stuck out here in the sticks and there's only so far we can go realistically, maybe once a year.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like it sounds like you guys are doing a real service that, you know, that you found something that, would be really meaningful for the community. And I loved, Barry, what you said about, you know, if you build it, he will come kind of thing. Like, yeah, making those connections, maybe not realizing that the people in your community are as big a nerd as I am kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And the fact that you guys do first contact nights every year, like there's nobody in Grand Prairie does that. I might be heading to Grimshaw next time for that. That sounds amazing.
Oh, you absolutely should. Yeah. it's really been fun. And I have to give full credit to the programmers at the library because they come up with everything. They've got crafts to do. They've got episodes running. People are in costume.
Specialty snacks.
They had snacks. They had peeps with red shirts painted on them. Like it's so fun. It's so fun. And they find a niche and they'll go crazy with it. Like it's fantastic.
I have to ask, you know, kind of in the world of kind of keeping the planning topic going here, are there any like behind the scenes hurdles that you didn't expect? And are there any behind the scenes? I think the people coming out of the woodworks is sort of like the Staples easy button a little bit, cause it's good when you meet that, but are there any like hurdles for people, you know, say there are other people who listen in their own special corner of the stick somewhere else. Are there any hurdles that you would say like, this is something we weren't expecting, but this is something you should expect when putting something like this together?
Something that I think we hadn't really thought about it until it just occurred to us when I think we saw a Facebook post about GPOC coming up in Grand Prairie, was the networking we were going to have to do. Like we traveled down to Grand Prairie to go to GPOC for a day with our kids, which they absolutely loved. They had a great time, but we spent the day just absolutely schmoozing. Like we had our cards and our flyers and we were talking to everybody about what kind of stuff they sold and what kind of stuff they did and who they knew and would they be willing to travel. And that's how we've got half of our vendors. And like, it's really made a big difference in getting interest, but you have to be prepared to pitch. You have to be prepared to go out and talk to people and get out of your comfort zone, because like, let's face it, the nerd community is maybe not notorious for being outgoing and getting out of their comfort zone. And, you know, we've got a lot of great volunteers, but not everyone is willing to walk into a business and say, hi, we are wondering if you'd like to sponsor our event. And you've got to at least have a few people on your team who can do that. And then find the jobs that work for everybody, because there's something that everyone on our team can do, but you got to make sure you have the loud people and the quiet people.
Yeah, I would just say you got to be prepared to join every Facebook forum and community group. And like, I'm in three different Northern Alberta Warhammer groups looking for someone to do a presentation, trying to find somebody locally who could do Magic the Gathering tournaments or that. Like as much as you'd think it would be, well, there's got to be somebody here that does it. They got to be willing, and you got to be willing to extend yourself to reach out to them, because it's, everybody's been welcoming and exciting, but there's nobody banging down the door to, oh, I would love to put this on. And if they are, they all of a sudden can't be there that weekend because there's something different going on. It's a lot of mental load to just keep everybody in line.
Yeah, you've got to find people, and then you've got to present it to them, because either people may not see that this is happening, or they might think, oh, okay, well, I don't know if that's something I want to be part of. And then it sometimes takes that extra little conversation of, hey, I got your phone number from whomever. Like, maybe you'd like to be part of this. And then next thing you know, they're stoked, because people do want to share that kind of stuff. But we get intimidated, and we're not necessarily sure we feel comfortable standing up and doing a 15-minute panel on whatever it is that someone's asking you to do, right? So you have to have enough confidence to talk to people, but you also have to give them confidence that whatever they have to offer is actually going to be valuable in your event, right?
It is kind of remind me of how Carolyn, you met my wife, who works for the library system down here. And then my wife calls me. I'm like, I don't even know what time it was, but I think I was like shoveling food into my mouth. And she's
It was
like,
like 8 o'clock at night or something.
she's like, Barry, you need to, they're doing a fan thing, Star Trek. I don't know. Here, listen. And so it was very funny how, like my wife, has sat through one episode of Star Trek, I think. And I think she knows there's something called a Star Wars. Definitely not a sci-fi person. But for some reason she keeps me around, which is good. I'm trying to lace in my watching of the latest season of Andor. But I usually do it when nobody's home, so I'm only three episodes
That's
in.
what I've been doing as well.
Yeah, just gotta weave that into the rhythm. It's playoff hockey right now, so that always takes precedent right now. So, yeah.
The eternal Canadian struggle of the sci-fi fan.
It's little things like that. Somebody just says something and you just jump on it. And I give full credit to our library manager, Vivianne, because I think it was she and your wife who were speaking at first. And then when I walked into the room, she said to me, her husband has a Star Trek podcast. And then everything just kind of, we all panicked and went crazy. And it's like, you have to be willing to feel a little bit silly to be like, okay, we're here for a totally different reason, but let's talk about this now.
Positively Trek comes to you each week thanks to the efforts of our amazing Patreon members. If you'd like to help support the show, simply visit patreon.com/positivelytrek. Join at any level to get early access to ad-free episodes and exclusive content. For higher tiers, we offer shoutouts, associate producer credits, and more. We appreciate each and every one of our listeners. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Live long and prosper.
When we think about a venue like this, how would you say the balance would be for your hardcore fan versus your kind of person off the street slash curious traveler who's maybe come along and stuff like that? How are you envisioning what people can expect kind of coming through the door and seeing the convention? What sci-fis and fantasies are being represented from what you can tell so far?
We have a couple of panels. We have the 501st cosplay group is coming. We have the USS Cerberus out of Edmonton. They're coming up with four members, and they're going to do a whole like membership drive and sales pitch and photo booths.
So the 501st, just sorry to interject, is Star Wars for the listener who may not be a follower of the 501st. And then the USS Cerberus is out of Edmonton, and they're Star Trek cosplayers.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
We are having our own little like cosplay competition. We've got a bunch of different like gaming, and then our kids are actually going to help run it's called the Cat Kid Comic Club. So it'll teach them how to like the basics of like making a comic book. The library is going to have, I don't want to call it arts and crafts, but that's basically what it is. They're going to have like little like,
they'll have things like, the typical sort of like low library programming that they would normally do, but sort of amped up. They'll have Lego area. They'll have different sorts of themed crafts because they already have on hand Star Wars, Star Trek, sci-fi. I don't know if they have any Studio Ghibli or not, because I think we were waiting on the licensing for that. But, things like that. And that kind of stuff, I think, is really going to appeal to the people that maybe aren't in too sure what they want to get into, but like they can sit down and they can do a craft. And it's like a nice, like easing in. But We have a panel about a general panel about cosplay and about writing and publishing and Dungeons and Dragons. So it's not, we don't have anything super, super niche in terms of, other than Star Wars and Star Trek, I think it's going to be sort of like individual representations. Like we know we have some vendors coming who do work that involves anime and things like that. So I think it's going to be like a really nice, easy introduction for a lot of people to just sort of see what's out there. I know with some of the thinking behind our Nerd Mingler event was that, you know, what if we had different stations of like, this is the thing that I'm interested in, and maybe someone wants to come talk to me about it. You know what I mean?
Talk to me about Reboot. Talk to me about Firefly. Talk to me about Red Dwarf. Talk to me about whatever. And you never know who's a fan that just doesn't have anybody to talk to in a small town. So
I mean, like, just even living in Grand Prairie, finding another person who loves Babylon 5 as much as I do, just like, as.
Yeah.
So, yeah, making those connections, like, that's huge. That's my favorite aspect of all of this is those fans coming out of the woodwork, for sure. Mm-hmm. Very
and
cool.
And it should hopefully be, like, a really welcoming environment, which I think, like, bigger events tend to be, too, because everyone's just so happy to see each other, but...
Mm-hmm.
You can get kind of isolated even in small communities. You know everybody, but then you get sort of stuck in your own, like, oh, you know, like we're into this and they're into that. And we don't really hang out with each other. But it's like another sort of way to just be like, okay, well, you didn't know anything about Magic the Gathering, but look at how welcoming everybody is and all that kind of stuff, right? So hopefully it's like bridging gaps and just finding each other.
Whenever I talk to anybody about it, I kind of say there's going to be something that will pique your interest, as long as you're willing to just kind of, you know, not be afraid to try something new. It's, you never know. The people that are going to put on our Warhammer demo, I know very, very little. I know it's something to do with like miniatures and it's a board game, but they're so passionate about it that it makes it sound fun. Like it's, you could learn something about it, and it might be something that really fits your style. So plus there's going to be people dressed up in goofy cosplay, and that's always fun to see. So Halloween too.
Absolutely. I always think about it as like taking that energy that you have with your friends in the parking lot after you've seen a new Star Wars movie for the first time, and just bringing that to a bigger group and more people. That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely the hope, is that everybody can find little pockets of people where they're like, they have that vibe, right?
Absolutely. So maybe I want to ask just kind of a more of a personal sort of nerd question. Like my first love was Star Trek. I went through like a mid kind of junior high school Star Wars phase when the prequels came out and stuff and whatnot. And just went to Galaxy's Edge just recently with my family. I guess we went to Disney too, but Galaxy's Edge was where 14-year-old me came out and really, really enjoyed it. And I have to say, you know, both are wonderful genres, but you know, you mentioned Firefly, you mentioned Red Dwarf. I mean, these are also, you know, shows I used to watch and really, really enjoy also. Where do you place yourself in the world of fandom? Are there any specific loves that you have, like anything that really stands out for you as being a big fan of?
I mean, for me, my fandom, I think, starts with like the Fox Kids Saturday morning X-Men and Spider-Man cartoons. Me and my brother would imaginary play in our tree fort with that we were Nightcrawler or Wolverine or whatever, and it just kind of built from that. But like, I've got a extremely large collection of lightsabers. We've got, it was one of your birthdays, I bought her some Star Trek stuff because she's a Star Trek fan. But like,
mild. Don't ask me any trivia questions because I'll fail.
there's but no like, gatekeeper questions here at no. all. You say you're a fan, you're a fan, absolutely.
But like I was really into like Lord of the Rings. I love fantasy books. I'm currently doing a massive re-listen to all the Dresden Files audiobooks. I like sci-fi, I like fantasy, I like it all, but she's an absolutely hardcore horror movie fan, so I don't get to watch a lot of it. So.
Yeah, horror movies is definitely my niche, and it's like for Mother's Day, he gifted me a horror movie Trivial Pursuit, and no one will play it with me because why would they? So now his job is just to ask me the questions so that I can feel special because I know the answers. But yeah, it's and that's been one of the niches that like I've put into my artwork in particular, so that like I sell prints of my like sort of fan art. So then I find people at markets who are like they'll see some reference to a movie and they'll get so excited about it. And I'm like, oh my God, you know what it is? And it's like then we'll have these conversations about this movie or that movie or whatever. I get really into the academic side of it, like what is this symbolism and who's done an analysis on this and this represents this. And it's like very much like a literary nerdcore horror movie, horror literature, like movie history kind of thing. And then,
Nice.
of course, you know, I married into Star Wars.
Yeah, I was gifted a Star Trek CNET game many years ago, played once, so I know your pain with regards to your Trivial Pursuit. No one will play me anymore.
It was the best birthday and worst birthday present I ever got was a Star Trek or a Star Wars Trivial Pursuit that no one played with me ever. I think I looked through the questions and it was about 15 minutes ago. I don't know. Is it Chewbacca? I don't know. Is it Chewbacca? And I was like, okay, well, I'm never going to play this and it'll just sit on the shelf. But boy, is that the best present I got. So.
Yeah,
Awesome.
I don't have the I don't I yeah my family is pretty non sci-fi fantasy, which is fine. It just means that I just swing my lightsaber around when no one's watching. Or I wrote my master's degree wearing a Starfleet uniform because I felt very much like if I put it on, it would put me in the right headspace to work. And I even played the ambient bridge noise, and it worked. I did well. My capstone was great, but I'm just glad I didn't have to FaceTime anyone for that piece of time. So, kind of letting people sort of let their geek flag fly, I guess, is sort of the feel of this convention. And even if you're not necessarily into something, it sounds like there's really something for everyone. I'm always interested in those heartwarming interactions and stuff like that. What would you say your most heartwarming interaction so far with getting people interested in this event coming up, did you have, are there any moments like kind of light bulb moments or just sort of like a, wow, I wasn't expecting that to go so well, kind of moments that you've had getting this all planned?
We were at First Contact Day and we were doing trivia and the town fire chief and his wife come in and they are just two massive Star Trek nerds and
Nice.
they absolutely wipe the floor with everybody at the trivia game we were playing. So it was like would have never guessed in 100 years that he was a big Trekkie. So it was neat for me to see that somebody I've interacted with professionally dozens of times, but never, had a conversation about, well, what do you do in your free time? And that was the thing that said to me that, yeah, this is a good idea because you never know what somebody's into. So.
I would have to say that taking our kids to G-Pop and walking in there thinking, you know, we know the size of the event, that this is going to be kind of similar to what we can put on. And we had our kids with us who are 8 and 10, and they were both in their own personal cosplay. Our youngest was dressed as Dipper from Gravity Falls, and our oldest was dressed as a character from the Owl House. And all of these fun adults knew who they were. And our kids were so excited. Like people wanted to take pictures with them. They knew exactly who they were. And just like the way that they felt so validated because, you know, they watch these shows and some of their friends watch them and some of them don't. But to walk around in this costume and have grown-ups be like, oh my God, it's Dipper to an 8-year-old, they were so excited. And it was just like, it was such a validating moment for them. And I was like, yeah, this is like, I want you guys to be proud of this stuff. And it just felt really gratifying for them to be able to see that you don't necessarily have to lose all that stuff when you get older. Like you can still continue to be really into what you're into. Like both of their parents are huge nerds about different things, but now they see it's not just us, which is kind of nice.
being in a hockey family, I typically like to say that my stepson is just a hockey cosplayer, right? You know, I mean, getting to the NHL would be wonderful, but like you have the same chances, I think, of being eaten by a shark while getting hit by a meteorite kind of thing, right? And so I just say, you know, like I dress up like a Star Trek person, you know, on the bridge of the, you know, the Enterprise, and you dress up like someone from the Oilers or something, right? It's we all actually are nerds about something. It's just some things get called that maybe a little bit more than others. I would personally argue in that respect.
I mean, I've personally said Calgary Stampede is just Western cosplay. Like it's
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
None of those people have even touched a horse, but they'll dress in their boots and their hat. So
yeah, belt buckle the size of a manhole cover. Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, I won that. I won that when I was 7.
What, did a critter scramble? Yeah. So the last question I have is something that I hold near and dear to my heart. I've been to Grimshaw a number of times. I'm a school teacher, and I've coached more volleyball teams than I've actually been a part of. And I've come to Grimshaw a number of times for volleyball tournaments, and I've even helped with a basketball tournament once. I've stayed in a number of different hotels and really like the area. It's nice there. There's like a military vehicle, I think I remember, just outside of the Sportsplex, if I remember correctly. There's like some kind of museum there. I can't.
Oh, yeah, the Legion has got a tank out front. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to ask both of you, for the people who would be coming to this event who are brand new to Grimshaw, what's the quirkiest thing you can think about Grimshaw and what it has to offer?
Well, I'll put on my Chamber of Commerce hat. Grimshaw is a... I don't want to call us a boutique community, but we have a lot of just weird and really well done stuff. Like our local butcher in town, Johnny Sausage, he's got everything under the sun, from pepperoni to beef jerky, and it's all just fantastic. One of our little restaurant pubs, Crooked House, she's got 8 or 9 taps of craft beer and pizza and chicken wings in this quaint little space. We've got a couple of like really like specialty stores that sell some stuff that you can't get anywhere else. I mean, it's worth it just to take a walk around the store, which is.
And actually the store will be having a vendor's booth at our market because they have so much to offer for this specific community.
They are an absolute catch all. You can go in there and get a plunger and yarn and party supplies and a board. Well, that's where I got that horror trivia pursuit game. Like I walk in there and I can't afford to buy this, but boy is it really neat. So and I mean we've got lots of like our one gas station tags just changed hands last fall, and they are just going nuts with their crazy like pop and candy and like things that I wouldn't expect in a small town like Grimshaw. The things to get you to stop along the highway is just a starting point. Like it's Grimshaw's a neat little community.
I think one of the things is that like there's lots of these little niche stores that are not they're not big franchises, but what people are doing they really care about, and they're doing it really well, and they like it. It's important to them. Like these little stores that have been running for however long, or even some of the newer ones, like it's important to them to be connecting with their community, but with new people too. And the reason I'm putting my library hat on is because not only am I a board member, but I really love the library. Our library is amazing. It is so amazing. Like I recommend it to anybody who comes into Grimshaw to go and visit the library, take a look around. Our event will be connected to the library, but the library, there won't be a fee for the library. The library is always open to the public, but they have pets. Our library has pets.
They're raising trout right now. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they'll still be there by then.
They're released.
They have an axolotl. They have a frog. They have a snake. Like they have the kids in the schools love to come and visit the pets in the library. And it's like, it's such a welcoming and wonderful space. And you could not meet people who are more welcoming of new people in town and excited to show them what we have to offer. So yeah, and we often get overlooked by people who are passing through because they're headed to Peace River, which is a little bit bigger. And like, don't get me wrong, Peace River's got a lot to offer and it's a really nice place, but don't sleep on Grimshaw. We've got you know, little pockets here and there that you just need to seek out and explore, and you're going to find people who really care about what they're doing.
One thing I want to comment on, damn it, I can't afford it, but it's darn, but it's really, really cool. I feel like that needs to be on a shirt that I have to buy now, but like that should be our slogan as fans. I love that. But also I love, yeah, that in a world right now where, for example, you know, going into the US, not feeling really welcome right now, not really enjoying the prospect of doing that. That said, I'm going to 5 different conventions and they're all in Alberta this year. And 3 of them are in smaller centers. Like that's really cool. And I think people really need to kind of poke their head up and look around in their local area and see what's going on, because there's amazing people like you doing things like this that allows you to not only attend that event, but like you say, check out Grimshaw, maybe somewhere you've driven through or seen on a map, but never picked as a destination before. I think there's a lot of really cool little treasures to be found and little gems like that. And, you know, as someone who advocates like, hey, let's put all our money in the local economy instead of spending money going to all kinds of places, going to Vegas for the 5th time for the Star Trek convention or whatever. Right. Like, I love this. I think, I want to put together like an Alberta nerd travel log now.
Oh, that would be amazing. We want to be in there. Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah.
we're big enough nerds that on our honeymoon, we did all the weird hideaway attractions, like the giant pierogi and the
nice,
the sausage and all that.
But of course, being that my mom grew up in Vulcan, we did have to take a trip to Vulcan and visit the Star Trek Museum and get all of our pictures taken around town with the various murals and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's just you're right. Putting it into your local community and realizing that like it's amazing what you can do when you can get a group of people together who want to work towards something and actually believe that it can be done. Because so often we can get stuck on, oh, wouldn't it be cool if somebody did this? Okay, well, let's be those people that do it. And like, we're the ones here talking to you, but we have this group of people behind the scenes who aren't here, who are contacting the people that they know, and they're getting in touch with this person or that person and bringing it all to the table so that we actually get to make it be something, which is for us and then for the greater community and then the communities surrounding and then the region surrounding and then as far as we can get people to be interested, right?
Well, like I always say on events like this, I would love to attend one, but if I'm the one putting it on, I don't get to enjoy it the same way as you as an attendee. Mm-hmm. So somebody else needs to put on an event that I might enjoy so that I can go to that and then we can trade that little bit. But it's a ton of work. It's a ton of mental hours. It's a ton of physical hours setting things up on the day, but it's something that makes your community a better place. So that's why we want to continue doing this. So
support your local convention, I think, is the bumper sticker we need to start having. I echo that idea of, you know, keeping the money in the place where you are, because there are just so many wonderful people who are, you know, have wonderful little businesses and wonderful little groups and communities. If we do give these things the time of day, all they'll do is grow and all they'll do is get better. And so, yeah, here at Positively Trek, we are more than excited to be joining you all for the event, which again is on June the 7th, the Mile Zero Fan Summit. Check that out. Make sure when you're up at Grimshaw, check out some of the cool places, the cool vendors who are going to be at the convention as well. And have a stroll around a bit of Grimshaw, I'm sure. Let's hope for some sunshine, but even if it's raining, Grimshaw shines. So we thank you very much for you both coming today to chat with us. This has been a really great conversation. And if any of the listeners are even remotely close to Grimshaw, take a swing. Seriously, it's a nice drive, and you will not regret it. It's a good place to visit.
You can find us on Facebook. You can email us at milezerofansummit@gmail.com if you are looking for any information. We are every time we get an email, we're really excited. So we're happy to answer any questions that anybody has. And yeah, I think that's, at this point, that's the best way to track us down. And yeah, we're really looking forward to having you guys come up here too. I hope you enjoy it. And I hope lots of people get to find out about your podcast. And we now know that we have quite a subset of Trekkie community up here. So I think they'll be excited to discover you.
Awesome.
If they haven't already.
Well, I mean, you listen to a podcast for years and you don't realize that, oh, wow, they're right here. And it's one of those things that, like, yeah, you have no idea. So
it's the best way to put faces to names. And yeah, again, you never know who you're shopping beside, right? And you figure out that person might have the same interests, or yeah, might host a podcast or be planning a convention. So yeah, with that, yeah, we're looking forward to coming up to see you guys. And we hope that this is also the first time we come up, and we will have many, many more, that your convention will live long and prosper. So with that, we thank everyone for listening. Definitely see if you can make it up to the Mile Zero Fan Summit on June the 7th. And as always, I'm Barry with Dan. And as we always say here, stay positive.
Positively Trek is produced and edited by me, Dan Gunther, and co-produced by Barry DeFord on Treaty 8 territory, the home of the Beaver, Cree, Dene, and Métis people, whose histories, languages, and cultures we respect. We acknowledge the many First Nations, Métis, and Inuit who have lived in and cared for these lands for generations.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.